You're listening to the Cats in the Garden podcast, the official podcast of the Whistling Rooster Homestead. You can find us online at thewhistlingroosterhomestead.com and on social media at Whistling Rooster Homestead. This is a podcast that's mostly about gardening and sometimes about other stuff. So we hope you'll grab a drink and spend a little time with us. Welcome to the cabin. Hello, friends and family, and welcome back to the podcast. My name's Elizabeth, and I run the blog at thewhistlingroosterhomestead.com. This is episode 2 of the Cats in the Garden podcast, and we are going to be talking about USDA hardiness zones and what it means to you as a home gardener, which might not be as much as you think. So I'm just going to go ahead and jump right into it. I have a hot cup of tea. I am actually sitting upstairs in the propagation station. This is where I do all of my indoor seed starting in my attic. And I am surrounded by all of my early season starts, and I'm so excited. And every year when I'm at this point, I reflect on the previous seasons of seed starting and planting everything out. And if you haven't read my blog, you should definitely get over and check out some of my most popular posts. I talk a lot about seed starting and gardening because I did actually start my very first vegetable garden entirely from seed, and I've always done it that way. I'm really glad that I did it that way, even though it was probably harder than it needed to be for my first year. I made that a little difficult on myself, but I credit that experience with making me into the gardener that I am today, because it's fairly straightforward, but it's not easy by any means. So I kind of went from the frying pan into the fire and learned everything through trial and error, which is fine. That's actually the way that I learned the best. And I gained a lot of experience over those first few years, and I gain experience every year, obviously, but those first few years were very formative for me as a person, because gardening and homesteading is my life now, and it's something that I really enjoy, as well as something that makes a difference in the daily lives of my family. So I am always reflective upon the first few years that I was starting seed and how misled I was by certain major social media outlets. Influencers, I guess I should say, I don't know, social media personalities that talk about, like, what seeds to start in March in zone 6, quote unquote. And that's just a very inaccurate, a very misleading way to post information or to share information. I feel like it's more damaging than it is helpful to associate growing zones with seed starting. And the reason why will become clear very soon, because we're going to talk all about USDA growing zones. And I would like to start with reading the definition of the USDA growing zone map. And I love this. I've never actually looked at the website and, like, the how to use the map description, because I kind of, I learned most of what I know about the growing zones from the Western Garden Book. I used to read that a lot when I was first getting into gardening. And when I took my Master Gardener certification course, we really didn't talk about growing zones all that much. It was a very small portion of our class, because once you look at the map and once you determine what your growing zone is, like, you're done. You don't really have to, like, think about it or research about it or wonder about it at all after that point. So what the website says, which is planthardiness.ars.usda.gov, and they are a map that kind of looks like a rainbow sherbet kind of deal of different climatic zones. And here's what it reads by the definition. It says, the plant hardiness zone map is based on the average annual extreme minimum winter temperature displayed as a 10 degree Fahrenheit zone, ranging from zone 1 being the coldest to zone 13 being the warmest. These designations serve as convenient labels in shorthand for communicating and comparing the extreme winter temperatures within the United States and Puerto Rico. Zone numbers are typically listed with the descriptions of perennial plants in catalogs and other sales information produced by commercial nurseries, plant suppliers, etc. So, the key word here in the definition from the USDA website itself is perennial, because the USDA hardiness zone does not pertain to plants which are generally annual. And obviously, there are some gray areas in certain zones, like in southern states where you can grow tomatoes and peppers year-round. Those are usually the minority. They are not the norm. We're not talking about the places where you can grow everything all the time, because that's a very small part of the country. Mostly what we're talking about is places that do experience, to a varying degree, freezing temperatures in the winter. And what the hardiness map will tell you is what types of perennials and what varieties of plants you can grow perennially in your area. And just to give a couple of examples, if you don't have any experience with what is perennial versus what is annual, something like a tomato plant or basil or certain flowers like sunflowers are annuals. You're talking generally about things that go through their fruiting stage and then enter senescence in a single growing season. And that's true for most of the United States. Those are considered annuals. And perennials, which is what the USDA hardiness zone pertains to, are something that will survive and come back the next year. A lot of small fruiting shrubs are perennial in most areas, and your hardiness zones, especially when you get down into like zone 6 and below, that's when you run into trouble, like in my area, keeping things that are considered tender perennials, like lavender and rosemary, might be perennial in the lower half of the country, but are very hard to get to come back a second year in the northern half of the country, because they don't survive a minimum low temperature of, like, let's say negative 10 degrees will kill a rosemary plant. So if you are a USDA zone 5 and your average lowest winter temperature is negative 15, then you're probably not going to have a good chance wintering over that plant. So it would be considered an annual and not a good perennial selection for your area. And that's basically the gist of it. And I would say that most gardeners kind of start with annuals because they're way easier to grow and they're way less expensive to grow than perennials. And it's just it has been my experience that most gardeners, as they get more advanced and as they develop their properties more, kind of move from annuals into dabbling more in perennials in that order. Most people don't start with perennials or don't have experience with perennials prior to really delving into annuals. So I feel like they're really misleading these beginner gardeners, because almost everybody starts with annuals. And when you're opening your posts and your printables and your media, all of your content, you're opening to these beginner gardeners who are just getting started, and you're saying, this is what you're going to direct sow in May in zone 6. Well, I can't hardly direct sow anything in May. And technically, I'm considered a zone 6A now. I'm really more of a zone 5B, but I'll talk about the changes to the map a little bit later. However, it's really misleading because there can be a variable of frost dates in a single zone by up to like 8 weeks, which is just crazy. So I'm probably going to use zone 6 a lot in this example, because zone 6 is a very large growing zone in the United States. It's very common to see resources for growing annuals and perennials in zone 6. And I just referenced frost dates, and what that is, your first and last frost dates are kind of like the bookends of your growing season. Your last day of frost is in the spring, when it gets warm enough that you can put things out that will be killed by frost temperatures. And then the other end of the season is your first day of frost, which is the first day that it's going to get cold enough to freeze in the fall and kill all of those frost tender annuals. So You have your frost dates, which can be looked up online, by the way. If you haven't looked up your frost dates, I highly encourage you to do so. It's very important. That is what your entire season as a gardener relies on, is frost dates. And I have a post on my blog that's called The Gardener's Year. And I list a lot of information about what a gardener's year looks like, what preparations you need to make at different times of the year, and how to look up your frost dates and use those and put them on your calendar. So when you're looking at your frost dates, it really has absolutely nothing about your growing zone pertains to your frost dates. And I did an experiment just as a comparison, and I took that frost date map and I overlaid it on top of the growing zone map, and they were wildly divergent. And it was just a perfect example of why treating your annuals by your perennial gardening zone can really throw you off. And it really kind of just solidified it bolstered my soapbox, because I had felt so frustrated as a beginner gardener. I was like, am I just a bad gardener? Why am I doing these things wrong? Why is this not turning out the way I had intended? And I think a lot of people feel that way when they first get into gardening. I think they're just getting bad advice about a lot of things, but gardening zones and frost dates is probably number one where people are misinformed, where they can experience failures. And it ends up completely not being your fault, because if you're not, you can do something as well as you could possibly do it. But if you are doing it at the wrong time of year, it's never going to be a success. So I should post that picture that I overlaid those two maps, because it was really super interesting. Your frost dates are what's the most important to you as a home gardener, and your growing zone really is going to pertain to perennial plantings and how to make good plant selections pertaining to your zone if you want good hardiness from certain plants, which actually probably my number one tip for perennial plantings is to shop, especially since they put out the new map, because they USDA just put out a new map for 2024 that has not been updated since 2012, so it's been quite some time since they updated the hardiness zone map, and they've bumped more than half of the United States into a higher zone. And for me personally, it's a very progressive look at the climate in my area. Most of the local nurseries are not changing anything about their planting recommendations. We are sticking with most of our recommendations for this particular climate, and a lot of the microclimates up here in North Idaho get a little bit more extreme. So then they whitewashed all of those microclimates right out of these areas, which is just crazy. Because we experience those conditions every year. Nothing has changed. So I don't know why they changed our growing zone. I guess they're just, because what they do is they average out a 30-year temperature range, and the prior 30 years, I guess, has been warmer overall than the 30 years before that, since 2012. For North Idaho, it's very difficult to nail down what our weather is going to be. We actually, this year, got down two zones below what they're currently recommending. So, and that is my number one tip for perennial plantings. Choose plants that are rated for two zones below your current designated growing zone. So let's say that you're going to choose an apple tree and it says it's hardy from zones 6 through 10. If you are in a zone 6, you could get a year that is going to wipe out that apple tree. Even if you've had it in place for 10 years, you could get a really cold snap and could wipe out that tree, and that investment would be done and gone. So you want to plant, most people say one zone, I say two zones, especially in areas that do experience occasional extreme freezing temperatures, because you could lose a lot of perennial plants on those years. So I always say plant for two zones below your current designated zone. When you're talking like rose bushes, let's say you're in a zone 5, you want to get a rose bush that's rated to be hardy at least down to zone 4, if not zone 3, for the best results. So that goes for anything that's perennial that has a zone rating. And that's what the USDA description of the growing zone map is referring to. So yeah, the 2023 map changes. There are a lot of news outlets that are coming out and saying local growers are not changing their recommendations. They are not changing their nursery stock. And they should be careful about planting anything that's only rated down to your current zone, because it could just kick the bucket next year when you get regular winter temperatures and your growing zone, even though your growing zone was bumped up, if you're choosing a plant that is only hardy down to the lowest point of your new growing zone, it's not really a safe choice. So, and my best advice for new gardeners is always to talk to your master gardeners associations. You'll have local gardening associations. A lot of times you can find gardeners through seed libraries or through county extension offices. You can go to your locally owned nurseries and usually ask questions or make friends, make connections, because those are going to be your biggest resources, are the people who live and have been gardening in your area for a long time. So, as a summary, does your USDA zone pertain to you as a home gardener? Yes, if you're planting perennials, for sure. Most gardeners don't start with perennials, but if you're going to be buying and planting perennials, it is important to know what your growing zone is. What, in my opinion, is more important than growing zones is your frost dates. You can find those online through various resources, including the Farmer's Almanac. And if you take anything away from this podcast today, it would be to familiarize yourself with your frost dates and kind of kick that idea out of your head that your zone has anything to do with your annual plants, such as your flowers, your herbs, and all your vegetables you're going to be growing in your garden, which 90% of them are annual. So if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to a local master gardener through your university extension office, or you can drop me a message online, contact me on the website, or leave me a comment, and I would be happy to chat with you about growing zones or frost dates and what might be a good calendar and good choices for your particular garden patch. Thanks for hanging out with me today. I hope that wasn't too much information all in one block, but it's something I'm really passionate about, and I hope you enjoyed listening. Please subscribe, go check out the blog, that's where I post most of my content, and hopefully I will see you soon. Take care.